The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds!
King of Crash!
The Colossus of Clouds! The Colossus of Clouds!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer is Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. And we'll give away, we have a drawing each week where we give away a prize. We've got two boxes to give away this week. Last week's winner didn't respond, so we've got the 2015 Topps Heritage High Number Baseball Box from last week and the 2015 Donruss Soccer Box to give away. So great prize package this week. Donruss Soccer has one autograph per box, and they've got the big names in there. So there's actually, if you're a soccer fan, it's a very good product, and it's Chicago Marathon Day. So it's a busy morning here in Chicago this morning. Over 40,000 runners. Good luck to everybody running in the Chicago Marathon. Now, Bill, you have somebody with you there today, Kip Engel, is it, from JSA?
Yes, I have Kip. He is a big golf. He's a dealer, but he specializes a lot in golf stuff. He does the authentication on a lot of the golf items for JSA. I'll let Kip kind of explain to you what he does.
Very good.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi, Kip.
Good to be on with you. Exciting times in Chicago with the Cubs there playing at this time of the year. You'd only think Bears in Chicago, but this year you have Cubs.
Yeah,
what I do. Growing up in Peoria, Illinois, I became a big fan of golf. Went down to school and college chasing golf autographs in the Florida area, and then worked for the St. Louis Cardinals as their public relations guy. And after my time with the Cardinals, got back into the hobby that I grew up with in Peoria, and now do authentication for James Spence on their golf autographs, be it Jack Nicklaus, Jordan Spieth, or the legends of the game like a Bobby Jones.
It's actually good timing. I had an item written down to talk about later, but let's get to it right now, golf-related item. Mike from Twitter, I posted a picture, T-Crown Tom as my Twitter ID earlier in the week, had a Masters pin flag signed by Tiger Woods. There's no date on the flag. It looks like, I did some research on the flags, and it looks like, depending on how the southwest corner of the United States in the flag with the spaces in there, it looks like, anyway, this one isn't pre-99. It looks like it must have been made 99 or 2000, because there's a date from the authenticator on the back of 10/31/2000. But now the cert is from Alfie's Autos of Hollywood. I don't know if you know anything about them, but to be honest with you, the signature on it scared me a little bit, because virtually every authenticated Tiger Woods signature that I've seen, there's a big loop on the T, right in the Tiger part of it, underneath it, like the T right next to it. And I guess it would be on the G. But in this one, it's kind of a smaller loop on it, and it honestly scared me whether it was even real or not. Do you know anything about that Alfie's, or have, as far as the Tiger Woods signature, have you seen Tiger do it both ways, or do you just see it where he has the big loop on that?
Well, Tom, you're very educated, and you're certainly a generalist there in your sports knowledge to have the in-depth knowledge that you have on the Masters flags. What happened there, as you mentioned, was in the 1990s was the craze of Masters flags starting to be signed, and you had some generic issues that were there done, and then you had a famous flag in 1997, which is a one-year style of the Masters flag. And then following after that, you had the undated Masters flag, like you said, in 1998. Then the Augusta National started dating them, as you mentioned, in 1999. And each year sequentially since then, they've dated them since through 2015. What did happen in 2002, the Augusta National, with the Tiger craze going on there, Tiger having won the Masters in 2001, his second of four titles at Augusta. The place was mobbed with people. There was more people possibly, Tom, than it'll be at the Cup game on Monday night. And so anyway, they sold out of flags the first day of the 2002 Masters, and lo and behold, these prized undated flags came out, which are great for getting Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, the legends of the game, because it doesn't correlate to a specific Masters. So to get to your question on Tiger Woods, and I unfortunately don't know the folks that you mentioned, but with Tiger, he's had a transition of about three different ways that he's signed his name over the time period. And what you're mentioning kind of fits into that middle time period. As he was in Stanford, he had a simple signature that was kind of formed as Tig Woods. And one thing that you'll look for in Tiger Woods' signatures is that D is a real, real crucial area that you want to look at. Because Tiger signs very few autographs, Tom, but when he does sign, he's very deliberate at the golf course. Because what he wants to do is he wants to walk from point A to point B and do it very slowly, because he wants to sign very few autographs, but he wants to have the perception that he's being fan-friendly there. So he'll take his hand, and on the D, he throws his wrist up in a very slow fashion up there, and then he'll come straight down that D and retrace. So the D is a really good area to look at. As you mentioned, the G in it, that's a transformation that he went from a very thin G formation to, as you were mentioning, that large loop that you see now, and that's what I'll call his stylized autograph. And that's something that he did in his years as the Upper Deck autograph man there, signing autographs for pay for the Upper Deck company.
Ah, very good. So this one potentially could be real then. If they were going to send this into a Huggins and Scott auction, though, it would have to be, he'd have you look at it as part of the thing, because, you know, I wouldn't trust this one by itself. So, yeah, well, that's great to know that.
I'll let Bill address, because Bill, I know, has only the finest of autographs in there and does use the third-party authenticators before items go into to his auction. So he's very responsible in that and makes sure that his clients get only the finest of autograph items, because Tiger Woods is a very tough autograph along with Mickey Mantle. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who have not done the responsible thing with those autographs.
A lot of phonies out there are those guys. Yeah, that's why the authentication is so important. Now, Vince Aruda.
Yeah, I think Mantle signs now more than he did when he was alive.
Yeah, that could be. There's a lot of bogus ones. Vince Aruda, you're on with us.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening intently. I'm curious on Tiger Woods' three different signatures, how they've changed. Was that by design? Did he do that, by design, or is that just kind of how his signature naturally evolved?
Well, there is something to that, and the thing that's interesting in signatures is a lot of times today, as players get more and more demands for their autographs, they'll actually shorten their signatures up. But Tiger is one of the examples of where he went from something that was sloppy and being more for wanting to put out a professional image, which I think was part of his agreement with Upper Deck, as we mentioned, and that he went to a nicer, a cleaner signature. So it's nice when you can find consistencies as you're breaking down an autograph in there. And there are parts of Tiger's signature, and that I hearken back to that the formation of the D and the way that he signs the D that remains consistent. He's always done. He also likes to at the end of that name. He's always been very much about tagging the S, and it's what they call in authentication a termination stroke, a finishing stroke. And Tiger's been always very consistent at tagging that S right into the bottom of the D and then finishing with a flourish off of their straight line coming off of the S. So those are areas that even from his young days, and with Tiger, it's interesting being on the Bob Hope show as an infant putting. Tiger has been in the golf eye, and Tiger certainly in college with his amateur championships was always in demand for signatures. And so there is a consistency, and we have examples of Tiger's autographs even when he was in grade school, as crazy as that sounds. So
let's get back to the Cubs here now. Vince Cerruti, you must be sitting on cloud nine after the win last night. I got a call this week at T-Crown from a listener who has a Jake Arrieta 2007 Donruss Elite 1-of-1 autograph card.
Wow, very nice.
Now, his question is, what does he do with it? And to me, this game tomorrow is going to be just the biggest game for the Cubs in, I don't know, probably in our lifetimes.
For sure.
At least since 03. But if this is going to be key to Jake Arrieta's value to me, as good as he's been, he's got to keep it going through this game tomorrow, and there's no reason to think he wouldn't. But now, Bill, if you're a collector of Jake Arrieta stuff, and he's got a 1-of-1 rookie year autograph of him that I think he spent around $500 for it about a month ago, if Arrieta wins that game Monday, has another awesome dominating performance, and the Cubs go on to win the World Series, how much difference could that make in the value of that 1-of-1 card as compared to if he gets rocked and they lose tomorrow?
Oh, that's the difference between males and females.
It is big, huh?
Yeah.
Well said, Bill, well said.
I think, and if I was the owner of that item and the Cubs win the World Series, this baby will be up for sale the day after.
Yes, that's kind of what we were saying, that the amount of people who will be after Cubs memorabilia in the month or two right after that, from the end of the World Series up through Christmas, would just be enormous. And this is definitely a different Cubs team. Whether they're going to continue to win or not, we don't know. But to come back and win that game last night, just the way they did it and everything, there's just there's just a different karma to the whole team right now.
Especially
it looks
putting
like
down safety squeezes in the
second
inning. I mean, that's
right.
Pretty amazing.
Right. That's not something you saw a whole lot in the past. So
that's
it's going to
sure.
be interesting. This Arrieta performance. I mean, he's up against Waka from the Cardinals. So this is going to be a huge game. Is that the one you're going to, Vince, or are you going
to
Tuesday?
No, I'm going to the game on Tuesday. And I was a little, you know, I'm rooting for St. Louis to win one game of the first three, so that game four I could actually go and there'd be a game. So I'm really looking forward to it on Tuesday. I'll be there.
Boy, that should be exciting. I don't even know if the Cubs know who's going to pitch in that one yet, because I don't think they're going to want to do Lester on a short rest, but we'll have to see what happens. It should be exciting. It's just good that the Cubs are in it and respectable, playing well. It's fun to watch them now.
Yep.
Now, the Huggins and Scott November auction runs from November 2nd through November 12th. There's lots of items already up there. If you go to hugginsandscott.com, you can see some of the items already up. There's a Bryce Harper 2012 rookie year game used bat with an MLB hologram on it and a photo match. It's a cracked bat. Now, we had the main authenticator from MLB on the show as a guest a few months ago, so we know how great that is. If it's got the MLB hologram on it, that means you can punch the number that's on it into the MLB database, and it'll come up that it's the Bryce Harper game-used bat. And I would say Bryce Harper, Trout, and maybe right now Carlos Correa and Chris Bryant are probably the four hottest guys in newer card collecting. So that'll be interesting to see what the Bryce Harper does. Now, we've got two boxes to give away. We're on till 8 a.m. Central Time taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call with a question about the value of an item, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a current auction. Or you can tweet me an item at TCrownTom is my Twitter ID. If you tweet me a photo of an item and we use it on the show, you'll be in the drawing also. I think it was actually at the end of last week's show, and I couldn't get it. I didn't have time to get it on. But Joey from Twitter sent me a neat item. He had Taves has been on three different Sports Illustrateds holding the cup over his head. And Joey has all three of those signed by Jonathan Taves and then in a frame. Now, that to me, for a Blackhawk collector, it doesn't get much better than that. So, I mean, to me, if I'd have that, I think those would probably sell individually around 100, maybe 100 to 150. But if I had that in the shop at T Crown and they're all authenticated, like if JSA had authenticated the autographs, I'd probably have a sticker around $595 on that baby. It's cool. And to me, a great long-term collectible for a Blackhawks fan. It'll be interesting to see. They're off to a good start. It'll be interesting to see how the Hawks, with all the changes that they've made, if they can come back like they did after that first cup when they won and they lost so many guys. And it's like, oh, my God, are they going to win another one? And they've won two since then. So we'll see what happens. It's time for a short break here now, but 312-332-3776. Give us a call, and we'll get right to you after the break. Thanks for hanging there. Bye.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, and an extra guest this week with Bill, Kip Engel from JSA, whose specialty is golf and autograph authentication of golf items. So give us a call, 312-332-3776, with a question about the value of your items. We'll try to give you an estimate of what your item might sell for in a current auction. It's Chicago Marathon Day. Lots of runners out there. I had my marathon walking from about Orleans and Ontario to here. About a mile walk today. I'm still sweating a little bit. I'm walking back, so that's my marathon for the day. I have a lot of respect for these guys running 26 miles. Pretty incredible.
Were all the roads closed from you getting there?
What's that, Bill?
You didn't have to walk with Vince, did you?
No, but no. Vince would have lapped me if Vince had been walking. Vince is going via phone today. Yeah, the roads are. You wouldn't have wanted to have driven in today. I don't think it would have been a very good day to drive in. But now people
you know,
can.
I have.
Go ahead,
I have
Bill.
I have a friend who's in the Chicago Marathon. She has won the last three Chicago Marathons.
Whoa!
Really?
Jeez.
Her name is Tatiana McFadden.
Okay.
She's a wheelchair athlete.
Oh,
she's actually won the last three Boston marathons, the last three London marathons, the last three New York marathons.
Last year, when I was walking back from the show, I had to stop and wait while some of the wheelchair contestants were whipping by, and so I got a close up look of them. Man, are they flying and are they tough? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she finishes ahead of the runners.
Oh, I believe it. They are moving and they're really putting out some effort. Wow, that's something else. She's a good friend of yours, huh, Bill?
She's a great friend of my daughter's. She actually was nominated for an ESPY this year, took my daughter to the ESPY.
You know what? Sometime try to get her on as a guest, Bill. That'd be awesome.
Tatiana would be happy to do that. Yeah, that would be fun.
I'd love to hear how she trains for that. That would actually be, you know, as a matter of fact, I wouldn't mind having her autograph. There aren't too many people that can say they did that.
Yep, right.
Get her autograph on a baseball. You know how you like to get a signed baseball from any celebrity. That's pretty cool. Now, Speaking of signed baseballs, there's always a tie in here, Vince Aru, isn't there?
Yes, there is. John
from Bartlett. Now, these were cool baseballs. These were kind of from the 30s. They were random signatures on them, but some big names, but things that you just don't see together very often. One of them, Jack Dempsey, the boxer, is signed on it, along with Chuck Klein. I think Daffy Dean. I'm not 100% sure, but you see Dizzy Dean, but I don't see Daffy Dean very often. And then Phil Collins, where it's funny, last week I saw that there was a lot in the November Huggins and Scott auction with a Worldwide Gum 1933 lot of two cards, both graded SGC 7.5, Bob O'Farrell and Phil Collins, and I thought, of course, of the singer. And then the next week I see a baseball come in with Phil Collins, one of the signatures on it. I guess his nickname was Fidgety Phil Collins, and he wrote Fidgety Phil Collins on it, but he misspelled fidgety. He spelled fidgety F-I-G-G-I-T or T-T-Y instead of F-I-D-G-E-T-T-Y. So Fidgety Phil had real nice signature, but wasn't the greatest speller in the world. So that was one neat ball. Then the other one, here's a signature. Well, it had like Gabby Hartnett, Kiki Kyler, Lon Warnicki, and then Arch Ward, who, if you don't know who Arch Ward is, I've never seen his signature before, but he was a Tribune Sports editor. He created the MLB All-Star Game, so he was behind getting that the Major League Baseball All-Star Game going. He also started the Golden Gloves and the College Football All-Star Game, and I guess he was twice offered the job as NFL commissioner and turned it down. So, Bill, you think those two balls would probably be a cool lot for you, don't you? I mean, there's some neat signatures there.
Yeah, I'm not sure when, how long, or how many of those things those guys have signed, but I would venture to say we would have lots of bidders on those things.
I just thought they were cool. I've got a couple of balls like that at home. One of them has a bunch, like Joe McCarthy and Casey Stengel are two of the autographs on it, but with other random guys. So, yeah, I think stuff like that is cool. Well, we've got a bunch of callers waiting, so let's get to some here. We've got Ed. Are you still on 294, Ed, or have you arrived where you were going?
Nope, I'm still driving.
All right, well, what's up? What do you have?
This Blackhawks banner-raising game on Wednesday in the Blackhawks skybox, and I got signed tickets by Bobby Hull, Tony Esposito, and Dennis Savard.
Oh, that's cool. Now, none of them are that tough of signatures because they are around and easily accessible, but getting three big-name Hall of Fame Blackhawks on that ticket, I like that. Now, Bill, does that help the value? Bill and Kip might have some input on this one, to have a ticket with a banner raising that they sign compared to being on, like, say, a hockey puck, for instance.
Well, I think it's all in who it appeals to. There are probably people who would say they'd rather have the ticket unsigned because it's just a ticket, but to put those three big names on it, I think you're going to draw a different audience for that, which could change the value significantly.
Yeah, I think if I had that in a T-Crown, I'd probably have I'd want a couple hundred dollars for that, which is more than I'd be asking personally if it was a signed puck by the three guys. So I like that item. I think it's kind of cool to get, if you have a ticket if you have something that ties in with it well, and that ties in, even though it's not the current players, you got the history along with the current banner raising, which I like that tie in. Tim from Hammond, Indiana is on the line. What's new, Tim? What do you have?
I've got a full set of 1961 Tom's Leaners. They're graded by PSA. They were my dad's. They're Pirates, Indians, and Reds are the three teams in it, three Hall of Famers, Frank Robinson, Clemente, and Bill Mazeroski. I believe the lowest grade of any card is a 6. The Clemente is an 8. I think the Robinson is a 7.
Nice.
And there are a couple 10s in it as well.
So these are 1961 Conn's wieners. That's something nobody ever brings those into T-Crown. You ever see those at Huggins and Scott, Bill?
Yeah. Tim, was it Tim your first name?
Yes.
Yeah, Tim, have you had the set registered with PSA?
Yeah, it was registered. I don't remember when it was done, but I know I think at the time it was the only set in circulation that was completely graded.
Wow.
So it's the number one set on the registry.
I that was my, if I remember.
Yeah,
I didn't
right?
actually
that's
do
mean.
It. Yeah.
Boy, yeah, if that's something you're ever interested in selling, I'd be stunned if we didn't have quite a number of bidders who could wow you with a number on that.
Yeah, that's really incredible. Like I say, it's one of those things you don't see every day. And I'd love to see just a picture of them. I honestly haven't seen those. But if you've got the highest graded on the registry, oh, my gosh. That would be fun to talk about and watch. Just, well, like we could do a pool. Find out, okay.
Zeros are going to be at
yeah,
the end,
who gets closest to that one? How long have you had that set?
My dad's had it actually since he was a kid. And the story is that his friend... father worked at the Conn's factory, and when he just brought him home and gave him the set, and my dad just kept it really nice his whole time. And then back in I think it was around I could be wrong on the dates, but it was early 2000 I believe when he actually had it graded.
Wow, that is awesome. Now I guess what we'd want to do is check into the registry now and see if there are any other ones on there, but boy, that would be cool if you're still number one. I imagine there can't be many that would be higher than you, that's for sure. So are you thinking of selling those, or is it something you're going to hang on to?
You know, it's never anything that we've really talked about selling. We've just always kind of been curious about what the value would be in it.
I mean, could you even, what's the average, how many total cards, and do you have an average grade for all of them? It's completely graded, correct?
It's completely graded, the whole set. I, you know, without sitting there and counting it out, my gut would be there's probably somewhere between 30 and 36 cards.
Okay.
If they're like square in nature, black and white. I've looked at them from time to time on eBay, just like what the higher ones would sell for. But, you know, right now it's not something that we were necessarily considering selling, but just always kind of wondered what the value could be out there.
Could you even try to give an estimate on that, Bill?
Well, you're talking several thousand dollars. I mean, the Clemente is an eight. It's certainly going to be your kingpin there, and the Maserati and the Frank Robinson following behind that. But, yeah, I mean, to find those cards that in that high of a grade is very, very tough. And to have the whole complete set graded, like you said, it's probably the only one in existence. But there again, I mean, if it's something you're looking to keep, it's kind of what I call worthless and priceless, which are synonymous terms.
Yeah.
You will never really know what it's worth if you guys don't want to sell it. There's nothing wrong with that. If you guys enjoy having it in a case with a family, gosh, you know, keep it, you know.
If you have the ability to tweet me a picture of it or email me a picture of the set, I'd love to be able to tweet it so the listeners could see it, because I, like I say, nobody's ever brought one into T-Crown. I'd like to see it myself. That's a great set, Tim.
Okay, I'll try to do that later today.
All right, very good. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Thanks for the call. That's great. Well, I'll tell you, in the learn something every day category, that's one of them. I had something marked down here, a 1955, is it? Phelan's Franks, Bobby Morgan panel bill, a Phelan's Franks. That's something I've never seen before either, that you have in the November Huggins and Scott auction. You see those very often?
Very rarely. The one that we have, the Bobby Morgan, for some reason the Phelan Franks card, with Wyatt and one other guy, they must have produced a stack of them, but the Bobby Morgan, I don't know that I've ever seen before. So it's a rare issue and also a rare card from the rare issue. So,
and a great name, so it's all good.
Right?
Okay, we've got Brian from Palatine waiting on the line. What's new, Brian? What do you have?
I've got something that's not a sports item. I have five first edition James Bond books, hardcover, obviously, with signed by Ian Fleming on the inside cover.
Oh, Ian Fleming, that's pretty cool. Now, that's not an autograph you see every day. So these are first editions, too. That might be something we'd have to do a little research on. I would imagine, Bill, that's not something that comes through Huggins and Scott every auction that you have going, huh?
No, is Ian Fleming still alive?
No, he's been dead for quite a while.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, the old adage in autographs is the deader the better. So if he's been dead quite a while and you've got signed first editions, you can ring the bell again. That's a good item.
Now, is this, tell us a little bit, is it one book and you have five different copies, or were there five different books?
These are five different books. I have Dr. No, Goldfinger, You Only Live Twice.
You gotta like that. So that would be, you'd probably do that as a lot then, right, Bill, if you were going to auction them?
Yeah. When were these produced?
He got them in the books. My father got them in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
Are they in good shape?
Do they still have the jacket?
Yeah, I mean, the books have been read. They're not immaculate, but the signatures are clear. The books are in good shape. The paperback, you know, the cover of them are a little bit worn, but...
Are they hardback or paperback?
Well, they're hardback, absolutely. First edition hardback.
And they do,
yeah,
but...
And they have you have the dust jackets with them?
Yeah, but they're a little worn, he said.
Yeah, that's all right, as long as they're still there.
Yeah, very good.
No, great item. If you're ever interested in selling that in one of our auctions, we'd be happy to revisit that with you.
Yeah, that would be one. If you call Bill at 301-608-0355 at Huggins and Scott, and care to give any type of estimate, or would you have to do a little research on that, Bill?
I'd be shooting from blind there on that. I'd have to do some research.
Yeah, we'll
but
do some research. And maybe we'll check it out with you then, Brian, if you stay in touch. Maybe get in touch with Bill. And it's time for a short break here now. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. Along with Bill this week is Kip Engel from JSA, who's an expert in golf authentication. So give us a call, 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away to one caller or tweeter two boxes this week. A box of 2015 Topps Heritage High Number Baseball and the 2015 Donruss Soccer Box. The Donruss Soccer Box has one autograph per box and some pretty big-name autographs in there, so it's a good product. So give us a call and you're getting the drawing, or if you tweet a picture of an item to me and we use it on the show, you'll also get in the drawing. Now, speaking of flags, we were talking about pin flags earlier. Ken C., on Twitter, I posted a picture of this one. He has a 10-foot by 5-foot Chicago flag that he thinks was hung in Wrigley Field during the 1960s. It's made by Baldwin Regalia Company out of St. Louis. I actually spoke to I called that company up to see if they had any records of their flags and, you know, going back that far. The guy who answered is actually the guy who's the current owner. He said he bought the company in 89. He's got records going back to 92, but it's very possible that type of item could have hung in Wrigley Field. So I contacted one of the guys in the offices at Wrigley, and he was going to contact the historian and see if he could connect those pictures to flags that were actually hanging in Wrigley Field. Have you ever run something like that, Bill, in a Huggins and Scott auction, a flag that's actually, you know, a vintage flag that actually hung in a park in the old days?
Yeah, we've run several of those. With kind of mixed results. I mean, while they are neat and everything, and I've actually run them with photo matches, they're so big.
They are big.
A lot of them that, I think a lot of people are like, well, if I win this thing, what the hell do I do with it? You know?
I told him it would look great on the wall at T-Crown. That's all I can say. A big Chicago blue with white lettering on the wall. I kind of thought the same thing. I don't know that that's good for Huggins and Scott auction, but I'd like it on the wall at T-Crown. Okay, here's Rob from Glenview's on the line. Thanks for waiting. Rob, what do you have?
I've got the complete set of Topps baseball cards from 1960 to 69. Each year in its big, long box, never taken out of the box.
You're a good man there, Rob.
My grandfather taught me right.
Oh, boy. So they're in great shape then, huh?
They've got to be all tens. He'd come over, we used to break the seal on the box, he'd open it up, and he'd say, okay, Robbie, take a smell.
And that's all you're ever going to get from those. Well, I'll tell you what, that just because they're untouched doesn't make them tens, because a lot of cards are flawed right from the factory. They could they could be off center, or there could be a ding in a corner, but those are going to be really nice. Bill, what do you think? Let's say, I mean, is that something that you'd have to look at them and maybe get them? Would it pay to get them all graded, or do you just... What would you do with that if you got them at Huggins?
Well, just as you said, they would need to be reviewed for grading, and anything in from that era that would grade, literally sevens on the stars and eighths and nines on the commons or better, it'd be well worth grading. But if you've got lots of sevens, eighths, nines, and God knows maybe even a ten, we're looking at tens of thousands or maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Hundreds. Wow. Oh, beautiful. Well, Rob, that would buy my daughter a nice car.
Maybe a couple of cars.
Or you could buy your son, your daughter, your wife, and you a car if you've got 10 there. You know.
Well, I never thought I'd sell them, but that is very, very intriguing.
Rob, my wife and I are looking for a new condo. You could probably get the extra money for that for us, too.
I think you should keep looking.
Okay.
Yeah, if you'd like to revisit, Rob, the idea of putting these in our auction, call me one day during the week.
I absolutely will. I got to sit down with the family now and see if it's something we want to do. But, memories only go so far. A little green goes a lot.
Yeah, I guess it all depends how much green is actually involved, and it sounds like there could be a lot in that one, Rob.
But that's a good point that I didn't think about, that they're not all going to be tens.
Oh, yeah, for sure they won't be. But right. You might have a good amount of tens in there. There might be a lot of cards that you have in there that there haven't even been a ten of, that maybe you've got the first 10 or something like that. I mean, you never know on that if they're that nice.
I got a feeling I'll be in touch with you.
Okay, well, the number at Huggins and Scott is 301-608-0355. So call Bill Huggins during the week, and you guys can get your heads together and get that all set up. And if you ever want to stop by Triple Crown in Naperville, T-Crown Tom, that's me. I'm at Triple Crown 630-357-7707. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
All right. I hope he was sitting down when you said the hundreds of thousands possibility. I think he was after he heard it anyway. Okay, we've got Steve from Berwyn on the line. I would imagine you'd have trouble matching that, Steve. What do you have?
Oh, yeah, I have trouble matching that, but I had one item. I was wondering what Bill thought. Back in the 80s, DiMaggio was going through the card shows and things, and then back then he was having a little he didn't like signing baseballs, so some of those shows he didn't even sign baseballs. So this one down in Harvey, Illinois, he agreed to sign, I think it was 30 or 40 baseballs, and everyone got a ticket and you could put them in the lottery. So one of the first numbers they chose for being able to purchase a baseball was me. So I went, got paid for the ticket, and went up to Mr. DiMaggio, and he said, "What's this?" I said, "Oh, I just won one of the tickets for the baseball." So I said, "Mr. DiMaggio, could you please sign Yankee Clipper by your name?" And he said, "What's wrong with just my name?" I said, "Oh, nothing wrong." Nothing. So
friendly guy,
it. Huh? Yeah, he signed it and gave it back to me, and he signed it Yankee Clip.
Yankee Joe Clip. DiMaggio. Really?
Joe DiMaggio, Yankee Clip. Oh, he did half of it, I guess.
Ran out of gas before he got to the Clipper part of it, huh?
I know they're Yankee Clipper balls, but this one, is it just too weird? Or
what do you think, Bill?
I'll tell you what, I'm going to let Kip answer this. He deals a lot in more of these autographs. Hold on.
Very good. Kip Engel from JSA.
Well, congratulations. That is something that over the last 5 years has really taken effect in our industry with single sign baseballs, and it was just like Joe DiMaggio said that what's good, not my name isn't good enough, and that's what's come into our industry today is that everyone is looking for a Hall of Fame notation or an extra notation after the autograph. So to have Yankee Clipper is wonderful. The Hall of Fame, I think, would be the best notation that you can have, but you have a special ball. If a Joe DiMaggio ball is worth $300 to $400, you can figure that your signature with a notation on a player that wasn't known for signing notations is worth about three times as much.
Whoa.
So congratulations for your forethought.
Now, the fact that he clipped off Clipper at Clip, and he didn't get the whole Clipper on there, do you see him that way, or is that unusual?
That's unique as well, a short stroke. I don't know that... as you get that far away from what you're looking for, that you're going to be able to add additional value there, that it's Yankee Clip. But certainly any notation from Joe DiMaggio is well-respected in our industry.
Very good.
Thank you very much, you guys. I like your show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's neat. I had the wife of an older gentleman who passed away a little over a year ago used to come into T-Crown all the time. He'd go through the dollar box, look at my old cards, and talk about the old days. I guess he was a minor league baseball player, but he used to tell me some of the stuff that he had. I knew he had a lot of Joe DiMaggio and Mantle signed items because he had shown me a couple of them, and he was always a big Yankee fan, but he had said he had a Babe Ruth cut, and he had a couple other where I thought, man, does he really have that, where they were tougher to get autographs. I think one of them might have been a Hack Wilson and like a Christy Mathewson. I mean, some really good names, and she was in, and she thinks she's going to sell some of his stuff now, Bill. So I'm going to be stopping by her place sometime in the next couple weeks and see what some of that stuff is. But it should be interesting. If you get a Babe Ruth cut, I mean, if... those go like a minimum of $2,000, don't they? Even if it's just on a piece of paper and not framed or anything with it.
Yeah, no. Babe Ruth cuts are, yeah, they're $2,000 or more, depending on how strong the signature is.
Yeah, so this will be interesting to see some of them and how it goes. But I would imagine next spring some of that will be ending up in one of the Huggins and Scott auctions. We've got Kevin from Highland Park on the line. What's new, Kevin? What do you have?
We recently discovered we had two old scorecards here, and we originally thought we just saved them because of the they were the original scorecards.
Okay.
And we found out about 10 days ago, one of the guys here looked at it and realized it was Prince Edward's signature.
Oh. Wow.
And so from 1924, now we have the other scorecard. We can't read. It's not legible, the other signature. Is there a way to find out what that one is? So we're curious now what the other one is.
Oh, well, that might be a good one for Kip. If somebody has like an autograph from the 20s, can they send it to JSA and say, we don't know who this is? Can you guys tell us who it is? Or what could they do on that?
Absolutely. We would take that in as a submission at JSA, which... it's simply James Spence Authentication, and if you plug that in on a Google search, you'll come up with it. And there's also offices that are in South Florida and right outside of New York City in New Jersey. So the fellow could come by there or mail it into our offices, and we would take that in as a submission and identify that. The nice thing is it's, as we've talked about, entertainment and authors and certainly sports stars, JSA, James Spence Authentication, is a full service autograph authentication.
So if you were going to send the Prince Edward, what is the scorecard of?
It's of the Old Elm Club in Highland Park, and we've always had these two scorecards sitting in a little glass container. And like I said, we thought they were just saved because they were the original scorecard.
Okay.
But then.
So it's a golf scorecard.
One guy looked in there and he goes, "You know what that is?" And I said, "I have no idea." He goes, "That's Prince Edward's signature." So then our curiosity got up what the other one would be.
Well, if you were going to send that scorecard into Huggins and Scott to auction, for instance, Bill, are you tracking on this where he could send the other one in also and you'd send them both to JSA to get authenticated and then maybe they could tell you who the other one was?
Oh, yeah. And then we would get back to our consignor and let him know the results. And depending on who it is and roughly what type of value it is, we could finalize a game plan with our consignors as to how we would want to offer them.
Okay, great.
Yeah, not like you see a Prince Edward autograph every day either. A lot of interesting items today that were people calling in for. We have time for one more quick one, John. We're going to have to make it fast. John from Elgin, what do you have there, John?
Hi. Yeah, I got some golf balls that are signed by Gene Sarazen and Sammy Snead.
Oh, very cool.
Amongst others.
Kip, we only have about 10, 15 seconds here real quick. What do you think on those?
Great items there. Masters champions live fortunately long in life, so you're looking at 100 to 200 on condition.
Very
Masters
good.
Masters champions, the most collectible. Thank you for calling.
Now, would that be something for Bill at Huggins and Scott? Probably
well,
so.
Of course, Bill's handed me the phone.
Oh, okay.
I run a golf auction house, thegolfauction.com, and we'd love to have that type of material. Masters champions, all the majors, the four majors are what people are looking for.
All right, very good. Time to do the drawing now, Vince Aru.
Right, this week's winner is going to be Rob from Glenview. So, Rob, email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. Send me your address, work or home, and I'll set up delivery free of charge.
vince@ercdelivery.com. Very good. Now, Vince, it's an easy drive home for you today, huh? Just walk up the stairs?
Actually, well, I went to ERC. I'm live from ERC.
Okay, well, have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. Good luck in the marathon.